welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Jones taking us to the world's greatest message. All right. Thank you, Nikki, for leading us in some carols. It was really, really, really good. So today we are continuing our series on Advent, on the whole idea of God being with us, Emmanuel. Oh, I totally forgot that before we start, if this you haven't been here for a while and we have candles in the back, well, we can be a candle-burning church, right? Why not? But it's set up as a as someone is doing it right now. It just prompted me. We put those up as a way for people to remember. Advent can bring joy and also can highlight loss and things that we are still carrying with us, or maybe things that we sit down and leave behind but are still with us to some degree. And so those candles are a way for us to remember and honor and celebrate the people or the pets. We had one family, they brought the names of their dog. I love that, because I put up my dog from before up there. So if you want to light a candle or bring a picture, you can do that as well. So we're in our second week of Advent, and it's all on dreams, because is anyone else a dreamer? I'm a dreamer, right? And the thing hold up the hands again, I want to recognize, okay, all right? The thing about dreamers, well, this is where you and I are different, Paul. Paul, I imagine, I don't know you super well, but I imagine you're a dreamer, but you can get things done, all right? Like, I'm a dreamer. I'm like, we're going to do all these things. And Nikki's like, hey, do you remember when you said you're going to do this? I'm like, those are old dreams. She's like, that was an hour ago. And I'm like, bury me with those old dreams. They're moving forward. So I love dreams. And the holidays bring out dreams, because one of my favorite holidays is New Year's Eve. And we literally, Nikki, we literally had this conversation about 2 days ago, and it prompted this message. I'm like, Nikki, what are we doing for New Year's Eve? And she's like, oh, brother. And it's my 4th of July and New Year's Eve, my favorite holidays, and I will come up with these great ideas. I'm like, we should go ice skating on Lake Superior at 2 in the morning as a metaphor that we're skating over our problems in 2025, right? And then we'll go and watch the sunrise, and we'll hold each other and cry and sing songs, and all right? Hand of God. I don't go that far, but it's usually like, we should dress up, and we should go be with people, right? And then Nikki's like, you do this every year. I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, yeah, then you usually say, like, on Christmas Eve, it'll be 3 p.m., like, hey, honey, what if instead we just eat Kraft macaroni and cheese and watch Full House? I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. She's like, you do it every year, right? But I love the idea of what dreams can be. Dreaming lets me live in a healthy way and unhealthy way, or if I'm being honest, of where I can escape from reality. But also it can help bring up creativity and feelings of, like, purpose and feeling alive. And it makes me feel really, really, really good. And Advent is a time to think about dreams. Dreams that we embody, dreams that we are hoping to embody, and maybe dreams that haunt us, and maybe dreams that we, like I just said, we had to let go. And the story of Mary is so right on when it comes to dreams, because how this whole Advent thing came is a very, very familiar story. If you've heard the story of Mary, I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 1, and you're like, yeah, we know how this story goes, and you're like, yeah, there's an angel that says some stuff, and Mary says some stuff, and then, you know, Jesus is born, and the rest is history. But when you can, like, take a step back and think through what's really going on and the idea of dreams, it's really good. So where we start is out of Luke chapter 1. And if you weren't here last week, we went through, I had a whiteboard for the first time ever, right? And I gave us a little history of the Gospels and how they are written, and it was, and wonderful penmanship. Thank you, Dana. My dad was an English teacher, and we couldn't read what he was writing either, so I feel like I'm in great company, right? Oh, so there's no context for me sharing this, but Rhea just brought this up. That she had my dad as a teacher, Nita had my dad as a teacher, I had my dad as a teacher, and he had to give us, we had to do a speech of how to do stuff, right? Thank you, teacher. Yes, Mr. Sauter. All right. And Nita's was, or my sister Tara, did how to change a diaper of a baby, and Nita was the baby, I just learned, right? But I didn't get to share my demonstration. Do you remember what my demonstration was, Dad? Yeah, I don't know why. I seriously am legit embarrassed about this. We're going to put this down. This is like a therapy session, and I thought it would be hilarious because we are ninth grade, and I, 10th grade, it's even worse. I thought it would be funny to teach people how to do mime. And I thought it would be funny to walk out and do, like, there's like a mime walk where you're not really walking, right? But you're supposed to, like, walking on the shores of Bethlehem, or like you're supposed to pretend you're walking. And I did that the whole way to the front. It took like 5 minutes, but my head took like 4 hours. There's no reason I had to share that story. But dreams. We can dream that we can do miming. Here we go. Verse 26, chapter 1 of Luke. God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, and Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God." Verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "and may your word to me be fulfilled." So this is a wonderful, wonderful story. And it's all about dreams. Because when we've heard the story, I don't know, for me, I can still remember Mary when we went to St. Francis Church. There was a statue of Mary. And so anytime I think of Mary, I think about that statue. And Mary looks like she's an adult, like she might be in her late 20s, early 30s. And that is very comforting as a kid or a teenager. And you think about Mary being a mom, and you're going to go to like maybe your mom, right? And so whatever you hear of Mary, you might have this picture of who she is. But many Bible scholars that Mary's more than likely a junior higher. That changes the story a little bit. And out of like a different generation, or not a different culture, anywhere from like 13, maybe 16, right? It's a completely different picture of what is happening. And in the story, they mention that she's a virgin many times, and Mary even has to mention it herself. "I just want to remind you, God or angel, that I happen to be a virgin," which comes into this whole thing of this prophecy, which we could talk about later. But the angel comes out of nowhere and surprises her and just gives her this message of this dream. And in the dream, it's packed with all these promises that you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be the Son of God, and there's going to be the shadow of God that like comes over you, and that's going to be like how you come with child, and actually he's going to sit on the throne of David, and it's never going to end. That is a banger of a promise. And you can imagine of Mary hearing this and like, okay, so I'm going to be a mom. God is going to be the father, ? Right? And whoever this baby is going to be this thing that changes the history of histories. And it's a beautiful story, but a theological and biblical debate has been going on for a very long time that really, really matters, which I don't hear a lot in churches, is consent. That is a word that has a lot of power and feelings. And have you ever thought about Mary consenting to have a baby with God? And why? Oh, your faces are gold right now. You guys got to take me. And you're like, I have no idea where this is going, all right? But why does it matter? If we're talking about dreams, why in the world does this matter? Because the way you think about God matters. And when we look and we think about these stories, the Advent story, it's easy to treat them as like And if you do, that's totally fine. But we can treat it like it's a mythical story, like it's Elf, right? And the four candy groups, or four food groups of candy, candy canes, maple syrup, and candy corn. Thank you. You were on that. You're like, I know which one's going to mess up. All right. Right? And we can, like, that's a cute little story. And if we do the same to Mary, we miss out on the humanity. And we don't always like talking about humanity and God and humanity in the Bible, but it matters because we're human. And if there's a God that is with us, not a God that is just for us, a God with us means that there's a God who became us. And the things that God loves, God becomes. If that's true, then the humanity of the story matters, which means consent. Because if the way you think about God matters and God just says, hey, we're going to do this baby thing, Mary, regardless if you like it or not, then the way you think about God is a God that can interrupt in real time in this earth anytime that God wants, which we love to think about God that way. It makes us feel good of a higher power that is going to do these amazing things regardless if we want him or not. But if that's true, then God is also going to things that God chooses not to do. If God has choice, God has agency. And God doesn't need the consent of Mary to have this baby, then we have a God that can just do whatever God wants at any time. I have someone I deeply love that is going through a medical, a medical experience, right? And it's scary and it's hard when you see someone you love and they hit these things. And the first question that comes up, especially since I am I'm one of the surviving pastors in the family, and and so it's going to come up and of like, well, why is this happening? Which is really like a loaded question of like, why is God allowing this to happen? And those are questions teenagers should ask and adults should ask, because where we start with God is, God's all loving. God wants to do good things to us, and if God wants good things for us and with us, then why are bad things happening to this 12-year-old, right? So then we have the conversation of like, yes, God is good, but God can't. There's things that God can't do. But what God can do is work with Jamie in the junior high. Jamie's a counselor at the junior in Cloquet, and she gets to do some amazing sacred work with those junior hires because she's collaborating with the collective good, and that's God. I really do believe that. Mary is in this dynamic, co-creative relationship with God in whatever this baby is going to be. She has no idea. This is how I think about God, that we get to be in relationship with God. We get to collaborate. We get to co-create with God. Of God is going to have this inbreaking in the world through you and through your running, through your art, and through your leading of AA. Through your counseling, through waging peace, through bookkeeping, through the way that you hug the people you love, the way you sing goofy songs on Christmas Eve, the way that you get to throw snowballs at your kids and they don't like it, but you like it, so you keep doing it, right? And all the things you do to extend this grace and this love and this beauty is you are co-creating in this world with God, and Mary's no different. And why that matters, as Mary is dreaming, she's dreaming of, we get to do this. Because Mary is carrying Jesus, which means Mary has to be, like every mother, has to be aware of what they're eating, right? Mary probably shouldn't have that espresso martini, all right? She might need to pass the holiday party on that, because if they're co-creating, if they're collaborating in this real life, what Mary does with her body impacts the Son of God, right? That's that human element. And why does this matter? Because I imagine Mary has this dream of he'll sit on the throne of David, which is the highest honor, and his reign will never end. When Mary hears that, she probably has a dream of what her kid's going to be, which is no different than when Nikki and I found out we were pregnant. we were pregnant. We had a baby. All right, that's what I like to say. But when Nikki and I, we got married when we were 22, 23. And when we were engaged and we started dreaming about being married, because we were evangelical survivors of purity culture, and so we could never, like, get a hotel room together. And so, like, our dreams of being married are, like, every weekend is going to be, like, a three-day weekend, and we're going to go to so many music festivals. And at the time, they were probably just, like, all Christian music festivals, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? But we had these dreams. We're like, we're going to travel Europe for months at a time every year. And it was, and we, do you remember we would like, we bought like backpacking magazines? Like, we're going to become backpackers in Europe. Why? Right? Places you can drive, right? And, but we had all these dreams of being young without the reality of like, we made $20,000 combined. We worked weekends. And who's going to let us travel for 3 months out of the year every year and come back to a job, right? But when you're young, those are the dreams you have. And so when we found out, when Nikki found out she was pregnant, like not too long after we were married, we were not high-fiving and pumping fists. We were sitting, I can still remember, we were sitting in a rat-infested apartment. And, right? I anything that has like four legs and is this big is a rat. And it's got teeth like this. So, and we were sitting at the edge of our bed and we wept and we cried because 3 day weekends were gone. And Europe was not, we can't lump, there was no pictures of babies in those backpacking magazines, right? And everything changed and it was grief, it was loss. Like, I wish we started out a place of like, yeah. It wasn't until probably weeks later where I began to have different dreams. And now I'm like, well, I wonder what this kid's going to be like. Then I heard his heartbeat. Then we found it was a boy. I tried getting the entire church to name him Cash because Randy Moss family said straight Cash, homie. And I thought, how great would that be if every time I saw my kid, I'd be straight Cash, homie. And, then we called him Death Star for a little bit, and we did call him Death Star, right? But anyways, what it led to is we started dreaming of what this being inside in utero, and then when you meet him, and if you ever had a kid, you meet that stranger for the first time. It's wild. It's like a whole universe opened up. Ugh. And every time, I have three kids, every time it was different and same of like this whole universe of love I didn't know I had even access to. Ugh. But here's the funny thing. Then you have different dreams. When you meet them, you can touch them, they're kicking, and you put headphones on them, all that stuff. And then you meet them, you're like, oh, they're going to be a doctor. They're going to be whatever, right? And you watch them, they do things. You're like, oh, he's going to be a firefighter or he's going to be a surgeon. And it reminded me of Calvin and Hobbes. You guys know the cartoon or the comic? And there's one that I remember. Calvin is this little boy, and he's building with these, like, Lincoln logs. And it shows his parents watching him, and it shows, like, in their head. And they see their son being this architect, building these big buildings and popular and famous. Then it shows inside of the head of Calvin what he's thinking of. Do you guys remember this one? And he's God, and he's creating a universe only just to destroy everything, right? Which is so perfect. I love it, right? That you can have the dreams for your kid. And as they get older, the dreams for your kid, you found out, are your dreams for your kid. And your kid has dreams for themselves that might be inspired by your dreams, but the way they play it out, wildly different. And with that comes grief, right? It made me think, I was getting ready and thinking through this story of dreams. I gotta imagine Mary, around that time, maybe every year, she wrote on whatever they had for a calendar, I'm making up to make the story go faster, right? And on that anniversary, she'd be like, oh, the angel told me this promise. He's gonna sit on the throne forever. And then she looks at her 12-year-old Jesus and saying, and he's bothering the hell out of me, right? That she can go back to the promises and how she thought what it meant to be on the throne and how he's going to reign forever. And watching the story of Jesus play out, of Jesus took a path of power and majesty that was so radically different than what the Roman Empire showed them what power and value and worth was. Jesus embodied it and extended it in the most unlikely places. I can't help but think, is that how Mary thought it was going to play out? And then it made me think of that Christmas song of Mary, Did You Know? And I'm like, It took me having an adult kid and looking at my son, I'm like, wow, the dreams I had for Cole when he was Cash. Honestly, that little boy, I still see. And the dreams I have for him are still there. And the dreams that he has are different, and they should be. And I love the tension. I don't love the grief, but I appreciate the grief because it moves me to a different place of just, we should go skating at 2 a.m. for New Year's Eve and skate over our problems. It's like reality is, it might be Kraft cheese and Full House, and sometimes that's good enough. And my kid's dreams are going to be different as he continues to get older. And that's enough because those are his dreams. And my dreams matter too. But his dreams matter as well. And I can't help but thinking Mary, as all this is going on and we get to the Easter story, and Mary thinking, I thought this was going to play out so differently. And she held on to that dream. So my invitation to you this holiday season is holidays have a way of bringing up so many good and hard things. And maybe Christmas is a time where you begin to dream and you get in touch with the dreams of when you were a little kid. And how we'd wake up early Christmas morning and what we'd call the new living room, even though it was decades old, we still called it the new living room. And there was this wood, and we'd play You Can't Touch the Wood. And we'd have to try sneaking in the living room, right, to go look at our presents and then run back downstairs. And our parents probably knew the whole time we were doing it. But there's that dreams of that excitement and the challenge that I still feel when I wake up. Maybe Christmas gets you in touch with the dreams that you are currently chasing. And maybe that invigorates you. Maybe it brings up dreams that you've been chasing for a very long time. And you feel like, is it ever going to come to fruition? And maybe it dials up dreams that it's time to let go. Maybe it's loved ones. Maybe it's that career path. Maybe it's that whatever the recognition that you're hoping to get and you just haven't gotten it. Maybe it's that health, whatever. Maybe it's the finances you thought you're going to have access to, and maybe it's time for that dream to pivot, or maybe it's time for that dream to move towards something else. It can bring up all those feelings, and those feelings are valid, and those feelings aren't always good, but they're important. And I think it's important that we do hold on to those dreams, even in the grief and even the loss, and allow ourselves to have new dreams. We just did a whole event last Thursday called Things My Pastor Said. It was all about spiritual trauma, and the thing that I felt the most was grief, but also this excitement of, if we're putting down this, what if we have capacity to dream of what better stories we could be telling about love and sacred love? And I love that. So I hope this Advent time, that the dreams you have are life-giving, and the dreams that you need to wrestle through, that you have everything you need to work through those. You might need help from a counselor or a therapist or your primary doctor or a friend or a hug from a loved one or a snuggle from your furry animal. But you have everything you need for this holiday season to be the fullest you. And it's going to look different for each of us. And it might look different from who you thought you were going to be 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But you are good and you are beautiful. So let me pray. Please join me. So God, we absolutely love you. And I thank you for dreams. The dreams we had of being a little kid and playing sports and overcoming giants and discovering new like realities. And maybe those played a little differently in our 30s and our 40s and our 50s. But they're dreams nonetheless, and they keep us moving towards the fullest version of ourselves. So I pray, God, that you give us the moxie and the strength and the wisdom to continue to move towards those dreams in ourselves and for the people we love. But I also ask equally, God, you give us the wisdom and the moxie and the strength to pivot out of maybe those dreams that we have to put down. And maybe we didn't ask to put those down, but for circumstances, We have to. And in that grief and that loss, I know we're not alone, but give us what we need, God. And lastly, will you help us to inspire and encourage and feed into the dreams of the people around us? That we will not just be dream killers. We might look at the people we love and say, no, I have a dream for your life. But that we can be present with the people we love and cheer them on as they carry on new stories.